Okay, it's rap packed to my pulse flat. We keep it real, no false rap. I got four cars and they all black. Got four bras and they all that. We call that ballin'. Doing this is my calling. Flow is so appalling. My phone off and she calling. I'm like, yeah, what it do? Penthouse, man, what a view. Fall back as I'm coming through with my whole team. They coming too. That's real. Too real. Motherfucker, tell me how you feel. I'm too good for my own good. I won't leak the album, I let it spill. Number one, bitch, I bet it will. Do the numbers, I said it will. I played the game and I'm still the same. And I never changed just to get a deal, bitch, I'm ballin'. Ballin'. I came from nothing to something like it's nothing. Yeah, you know I done it.
Yo, hope you ready for it. Episode 2 of that SNS. Serious nerd shit. Coming your way. Spitting glass at your ass. You already know what's up, baby. Stick around for this intro music, and I'll see you right after.
Going places they never go. It ain't all about the money, but I stack it because you never know. I'ma live life till I overdose. Where they sleeping on me, that's comatose. I went mainstream with my main team. You just mad as fuck, you ain't come close. And your next girl is my ex-girl. She fine as hell, but she a mess, girl. All I do is rhyme, I got no time, so I can't reply to your text, girl. But I'm back again and I run it. Always gotta keep it 100. All of y'all know y'all want it. Turn it up and get blunted. I'm like, fuck the money, fuck the fame. I came here to fuck up the game, don't get it.
What's going on, comic book heads? How you guys feeling, man? It is another week of that serious nerd shit. Episode 2, brought to you by the Raw Live and Unedited Podcasting Network. RLU, baby, you already know what it is. And, yeah, let's get into last week's draft, man. Let's pick up and see what's on my pool list. What made noise, what hit, what didn't. I don't think I got anything from that DC. I don't remember talking about it. I didn't pick up. Nothing will drop. I think next week's a bigger week, but we'll talk about that on tomorrow's drop. But let's get into it right away with one of my favorite books that came out. My buddy Phil got me into this book. And like I told you guys last week, number 3 dropped, and that is Pestilence. Called Death Adapts. This is written by Frank Terry and the art by Oleg Okunev. I don't know, can't really pronounce his name, but that shit is great. I mean, what can I tell you? The art just looks, it's beautiful. The writing's top-notch, but let's get into it a little bit for you to know what this book is all about. And it's brought to you by Aftershock Comics. One of their books, you know what, Aftershock, they hit with a lot of their books, man. This is a newer company. I want to say about 2 years old now. Maybe three. Three at the latest. Yeah, somewhere around there, man. But they've dropped some pretty badass books. And this is one that, like I said, my buddy told me about. And I've been on it ever since. And it looks like I'm sticking around. Basically, the premise is, if everybody remembers their history, we all heard about the Black Death, what hit back in the day, 1300s, I think. Destroyed England, London, the Holy Lands, you know, the all that shit, man. It just, I think they said it came from rats. I'm not sure where it came from, if I remember right, but if I'm wrong, correct me, but from what I remember, that's where it came from. Spread disease like wildfire, killed thousands, but hundreds of thousands of people. Well, this book, it's a little bit about that. It's a twist on that story where the plague is not the rats that spread the disease, but zombies. Now, what they're trying to do is hide it. It's a huge zombie epidemic. I mean, every imagine how it is now. And it's the fast zombies, the one me and my buddy Rich El Sinestro always talks about, the fast ones, the ones we're scared of, those fucking zombies. They just don't straddle around and bullshit. They come after you, man. So let me give you a little premise in the story. Let's see where we go. Okay, here we go. Starts off, this is the Holy Land, the year of our Lord, 1347. The men of Fiat Lux, the assassin's arms of the church. Yeah, in this story, the church, the Catholic Church, has its own assassin's guild. It's pretty badass. Anyways, let me get back into it. The assassin's arm of the church have just uncovered the existence of a zombie pestilence, chronicled in the history books as the Black Death. After a heroic journey to the Vatican, this group of stalwart knights have finally learned the true nature of their mission. They must rescue none other than the Pope himself, Avignon. It's crazy. Once they get to where the Pope is held up, the Vatican, it is surrounded by zombies. That happened in issue 2. Let me start off right away. I definitely recommend this book, man. I mean, 3 issues in, you can go catch up. Issue 1 is getting a little harder to find, but they're reprinting them. So once it drops, get on this book. I am not playing. All right, let's get back to it. Yet, as a team embarks upon the daunting task that lies before them, they do so with heavy hearts. They have lost their comrade Williams to the undead horde. And once more, James the Jester was bitten by a zombie and has become one himself. James was one of their best fighters, man. They call him the Jester because I think he used to go in, like, dressed up. I remember Jester, they're like clowns back in the day. Back in the day. And he would come in and, you know, give whoever he needed a good time, and then he fucking kill him. You know, he was part of this assassinations guild, and that was his way in. The town fool, if you will, or the Jester. Well, he was one of their best fighters, and he got bit, turned on them, and they have him right now. Okay, so let's get back to it. The question remains, how many more members of Fiat Lux, that's the name of the assassins, will pay the ultimate price before the great pestilence is extinguished? All right, so right away we get into it where there's a little backstory, like a flashback in the first opening pages where these assassins, I guess before they were part of the guild, they were friends and they traveled. I think 3 of the 4 of them. And they're getting tortured by some other group of men. And right away, you know, the guys are threatening them like, you guys haven't seen anything. I mean, they got these guys tied up, butt naked, hanging from the top of the walls. I mean, and they're just sticking knives in here and there, you know, chopping a piece of that off. You know, let me slice you up real there. Like real torture. And now they're starting to boil like some hot oil. And they're like, okay, this is how you're going to die. We're pretty much going to melt your face off. And when the stuff goes down, I think one of the main knights warns them, like, you should stop while you're ahead, because when I get out, I'm going to kill you. And they pretty much laugh at it. But when the time comes, they get rescued by, like, a priest swordsman. He was part of the Knights Templar. I'm pretty sure you guys remember them. Yeah, they have some of those in it. I mean, it's a great story, man. They come to know him as a friend. I think he joins the Assassin's Guild for a while. So that they're just telling you know how some of them come apart. I think in the first 2 books it told you how some of the guys met. I think that's what it's going to play to until it tells their whole origin of how they met. I'm glad they're not doing it in one story, 2 story. I'm like in one big old book, one long read. No, you get the main story of the zombies, but in the first few pages or the last few pages of each book, you'll get a little story or a little flashback about how some of the knights or the assassins met. So after they get introduced to one of their fellow assassins at the time, he was just a friend to save them. They go back into how to deal and to get into the Vatican and get rid of these zombies. And there's just 4 or 5 of them left, man. They got to find a way. So they're thinking about going around through the woods to get to the backside of Vatican because it's clear. They don't see zombies. They see 1 or 2 lumbering about, and they're like, okay, cool. We got a way in. Let's get in there. And right when they're going through the woods, zombies start sprouting out the fucking ground, climbing down trees. And to their surprise, they set an ambush. And they're like, holy shit, they're not just regular dead. They planned and they, you know, they got together and they, I guess most of the zombies, they used to be warriors themselves, but I don't know what's going on where they're remembering some of their tactics. That's what it seems like at first, like, okay, it's part of their memory. They're just used to when they win the battle, this is how they acted, so it stayed with them. But no, it's a little bit more to that, and then we'll get to that in the end. Anyways, it's around the Assassin's Guild, the remaining 4 members, with the 5th being the zombie. And they just step towards them for a little bit. The assassins start fighting them off. They start killing a lot of them. Then the zombies slowly retreat back to the forest. And they all like, man, that was weird. Like, why didn't they go for the kill? They overwhelmed us. They outnumber us. What happened? Well, there's a little strategy the zombies are playing, man. So once they get to one of the main villages by the Vatican, some of the warriors come out. And they're telling them, like, you guys came to save us. They go, yeah, we came to save you guys for these demons or these, whatever. Because they don't know what the hell zombie, they don't know what the hell zombie means. So they think they're demons, just the dead. Like the Bible says, the dead will walk the earth. And I think that's what they're going by. And so they go meet some of the guards there who actually lived and got through and tries to tell them, like, you guys can't believe what just happened. We were surrounded by these zombies. We fought them off and they retreated. And the guys, and the one of the main guys who were there, already there, one of the other knights who's there protecting the Pope, is like, did you guys not get that? Are you guys stupid? No, they didn't let you guys know. No, they didn't retreat. They let you guys go on purpose. They let you guys go so you guys can be huddled here with us. So every time one of us tries to escape, they kill us. And he explains something. That's been going on for the last month. And the guys realize that they're trapped. You know, now there's nowhere to go. Yeah, the zombies would have lost a lot. They probably would have killed them in the end. But maybe they're thinking like that. We're going to lose too many of us. Let's huddle them back in with the rest of them. And slowly but surely, they're running out of food. And he actually shows a zombie once the other guy's trying to explain to them. He hears them. He overhears them. He lurks out the shadows and he smiles and he licks his lip. Like, he understands what they're saying, man. So that was a trip. I'm like, okay, they're going a whole different way with this. You know, these zombies can actually think. They're not remembering their battle tactics. They actually form plans and they outmaneuver the assassins and the rest of these knights that they have held up in the Vatican. So they sneak in the Vatican, the assassins, and they get with the rest of the guys and they tell them, well, what have you guys been doing? Are you guys trying to, is there another way out? Is there a secret passage, something we can get out? And they go, no, everything's covered, but we're working on something else. And then you turn it to one of the last pages of the book, it's like a splash page where they have three or four zombies tied up, chained up, what have you, cut in half, missing an arm, you know. They're dissecting them pretty much and testing them and seeing how far they can get away without killing them or if they can actually cure them. That, you know, right away, once the guy says that, one of the knights there at the Vatican, he's like a doctor, I guess. I don't know what they're called back in the day. Holy man. So once they say that, the main knight's like, his name's Broderick. He's like, wait a minute, you're telling me you can cure him? One of our guys has been bit. Can you cure him? He's like, well, we're doing the best we can, but if you want, we can experiment on him first. And they go, no, finish these other zombies. If they die out, then we know not to do what's going on here. At this time, they still don't know that the zombies are gathering. You know, they know that they've been hurtled into the Vatican in the trap, but they don't know that at this same time the zombies are starting to surround the place. So one of the younger knights, the assassin, comes and yells for Roderick and tells him, you have to see what's going on. Like, you're not going to believe it. And the assassin and the rest of the knights are there, come out, go to the top of the wall, and they look down, and the zombies are, like, lined in formation, like in battle formation, ready to fight, ready to storm the fucking Vatican and kill or eat whatever's inside. And that is the end of issue 3. I mean, shit, it is a great read, man. Like I said, I absolutely recommend this. From Aftershock Comics, and it says Pestilence number 4 will be out August 17th. So, a couple weeks from now. And they've been, you know what, they've been steady with their books. They've been on time. So, and that's weird with Aftershock. So, a couple of times when they first started, you wouldn't get their books. You get 1-3 months apart or some shit. And it kind of fucked everything up. But, yeah, so recommend that. You'll see the picture once I post about it, so you can know what you're looking for. Or go to your local shop, write it down, and ask if they have it. Okay. Now we're going to one of my favorite reads of last year, coming into this year. I think I talked about it in my intro episode, and I'm bringing it up again. And this is a book by Dark Horse Comics, Conan the Slayer. I've always been a big Conan fan. Comics, I think I maybe had a few here and there. But now I'm starting to track a lot of the old ones down. I'm having real good luck doing that, especially hitting the recent sales, like Sunday's garage sale up in Culver City, which was a huge success on my part. You know, I got a lot of shit. But anything with Conan, man, I love it. And just this book itself is just a great read, issue out. I mean, goddamn, the art's always great. Like I said it before, it's a fresh breath there when you see something like this. We don't really get the superheroes. We didn't get it with the first comic we talked about before this one. I mean, it's Conan. He fights with his sword. He'll bite your fucking cheek if it gives him the advantage. He'll grip at your balls and rip them off if he can. He's a barbarian, man. This is what he does. But in this book called The Slayer, this is issue number 11, actually. Another book you can catch up. I think if you get the trade, you're like issues 1 through 5, volume... Or 1 through 7, that's volume 1. This here is volume 2, which would be 8 through 11. It's end of a five-parter here. It's called The Devil in Iron, written by Colin Bunn. Like I mentioned, one of my favorite artists out right now. And the art, Sergio Davila, killing. Book in, you know, every time the book's out, released, just consistent. He's just, goddamn, he's a great artist, dude. And I don't know if I've heard of him before this book, but I just love what he's doing with Conan. Let me give you a short synopsis to tell you what's going on with this book so far. Junior Agha has used the beautiful Numidian princess Octavia to lure Conan into the remote island of Ixpar, where Agha hoped to corner and murder the new Kozaic headman. Now, let me explain that real quick. So, Conan, just, you know, he's a vagabond. He roams around, you know, and whatever he gets into, he gets into. Well, he stumbled into, in the first volume, which is issues 1 through 7, he stumbles upon this tribe who's warring with their same tribe, trying to figure out who's going to lead them, because the father of the main tribesman died, and they don't think his son's strong enough. So the uncle, it's one of those things where the uncle's like, nah, my nephew ain't strong enough to lead us, and fuck him. You know, I can run us. Well, when Conan comes and helps them, like, what's this situation? Because during this war, they get invaded by another tribe, and Conan's there, and he helps them out. So they're like, okay, you're cool, you're down with us. Well, all the stuff that went down in those issues, circumstances, everything that happened, the son being killed, the uncle running away from the tribe, they had no one to turn to, and they seen what Conan to do, so they all took a knee and bowed to him and said, you are now our king. And he's just standing there like, fuck. I didn't want to be nobody's king, man. I just came here to fuck shit up, you know, and give me a little hoo-ha here and there. Because that's what he does. That's Conan. He just gets and takes what he wants. So now he's like the king of this tribe. And now he's grown to love this tribe. So he's like, fuck it, they're my people. But other tribes around who's heard about this, they look at him like dirt, like the lowest of the low. He's a scumbag. He doesn't have a family name. He, like, you know, he's just like... like, I don't want to say that. That'll be fucked up. So I'm going to take that back. Just someone who doesn't deserve that name or that title, king of a certain tribe. So this other leader of a tribe, he's like, you know what? His people are behind him, though. I'm going to get him assassinated, trick him into going somewhere, we'll kill him, and then we'll take over his tribe. So let me get back into it from there. Ixpar is home to an ancient fortress city, a ruin shrouded in mystery and tales of curses and ancient evil. Tales that prove to be true when the demonic giant Kosotro Kel awakens from his mystic slumber and threatens to crush Conan and Octavia as he pursues them throughout the serpentine passages and halls of Ixpar. Trapped in Kel's inner sanctum, Conan and Octavia look to be running out of time as the mighty Kel batters the chamber's massive steel door. But something draws the raging giant away from the crippled portal door. Agar and his warriors have drawn the baseful gaze of the Devil in Iron. Now, the reason it's called the Devil in Iron, this is giant living on this island, man. He is fucking huge. He's like Conan, like a Goliath, Marvel Comics Goliath version of Conan. Just stoked, but pretty much he's a demon that came up and took a form of a man, but because he was so big, he stayed in that, like, mountain of a man, tall, ogre-like form, and the people just worshipped him. But he was a dirty motherfucker. He would rape. He would have them sacrificed once. It was all bad till they found a way to stop him. Well, when Conan got on his island to go save Octavia, because that's where the other tribesmen centered for Conan, it's pretty much a trap. He didn't know. Nobody knew about this giant living on this island. So when he awoke, it messed up everybody's plan. But Conan, of course, being who he is, tried to fight him. He got his ass kicked. But right when the guy was going to kill him, the other tribe was trying to find their way in. Because they're like, you know what? Conan's in there with Octavia. They're just going to live it out in there. Well, let's go in there and just kill them. They didn't know the giant was running around trying to kill Conan and Octavia. Who's drawn really, really nice. So Once the giant leaves Conan and goes to find out what all this other mess is, Conan goes through the hall. Because you remember, if you read the beginning of this story, he had visions. As soon as he steps on the island, he had visions of the people on this island. And it pretty much told the story of how this monster came and how he treated the people and how they, I don't want to say killed them, they like put them in a deep sleep. So he remembered through these visions that there's a passageway through the halls, like a secret passageway where this sword was hidden. There was this sword made of moon rock or something, some kind of magical stone that the priests there, they enchanted, and it was what kept him. You put it on his chest, or if you stab him, he would lay down and he'd go to sleep until someone removes the stone or the sword. So Conan knew right away, I got to find that sword. So when him and Activia go on this little mission to find the sword, they can hear men just screaming. You can see like word bubbles coming out the sides, and then it shows the other tribesmen who are trying to assassinate Conan running for their lives, man, as this giant just going, he's just ripping them apart. I mean, he's like tearing them limb from limb. He's just killing these men. It's like, and he's smiling, dude, and he's like, okay, there's a bunch of people I can kill. I can go back, Conan's hurt, and I'll kill him after. Well, while they're doing this, Conan and Activia find the sword, but instead of fighting the monster, they're like, you know what, we got a chance to get out of here. The boats are by shore, let's get the hell out. So they start running towards shore, which Conan doesn't like at all, but he's like, man, what if this doesn't work? That giant's going to kill me. So he decides, you know, I'm going to be smart about this, which is not really a character, you know, that's not Conan. He's like, I'm going to be smart about this and just get out of here with my life. While he's going towards the shore, the other tribesman who wanted to assassinate Conan shows up. He comes running out the wood because the other guys, the monsters over there, killing the giant, he's killing his men. He's pretty much the last survivor, and he sees Conan and Activia trying to escape. He's like, you know what? Whatever's behind me is killing my men. I'm not going to go out like this, you know, and he starts charging towards Conan. Like, at least I'll kill you. I'll do what I came for, if even that means dying myself. Well, he just heard the rumors of Conan. He didn't really know how good a fighter he is. And he thought Conan, because he's always scaring people off, he thought Conan would back off, even though he's all hurt. Conan with broken sword and all just charges at the guy, which takes him by surprise. And Conan starts beating the shit out of him. He starts getting the best out of the guy, but the dude's a dirty fighter. You know, he's kicking sand up towards Conan's eye, and then he tries to gouge his eye. Just doing every little dirty trick to get Conan to stop fighting or to get the advantage. And Conan starts having visions of what the giant, right during the middle of the fight, what the giant was doing to the people, and it pisses him off. It sends him into one of his rages, you know, it's like a Wolverine Berserker rage, and he just forgets about everything else and just goes after this man. Zuxpar. And he starts going after him, and this is when Conan gets the upper hand because of his rage. He's more powerful than the dude. He starts pushing him back, and the guy pretty much starts to give up. And right when he's going to let his sword down to tell, you know, I give up, Conan doesn't hear it, brings down his sword straight to the chest, from like the top of the chest down to his belly button. And you know, when you cut someone with a sword, man, blood's not just going to trickle out. And it, I mean, really, come on. You see that shit in other comic books? Not in this. That's why I like the realism of this comic. Because once Conan brings the sword down towards his chest, not only blood just spits out, but you see guts, you see some of his heart, man. It's all bad. And he's down. He's down for the count. And he's there dying, trying to get that last breath. And Conan just tells him, you know, rest easy. Just know that you won't be alone on this island. There are other spirits here that will pass you along. You know, you're an evil man in life, but be at peace here on this island. And right when he's giving this guy who just killed his final route rights, the giant comes out to confront Conan and Activia. Conan's like, fuck it. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to go out dying. So he gets his broken sword ready. The reason he has that broken sword, Conan tried to hit the giant with it, and the guy's made of stone. I mean, he looks like a big man. His flesh looks like flesh, like human flesh, but it's rock, like the heart of stone, so the sword broke. Well, Conan brings out that sword again. He's like, man, this is all I got. I'm going to fight him with it. Octavia's trying to, like, don't do it. And he's like, I got to. And he brings out the other sword that he found, the one from the vision. It's a little like dagger thing. And right when the monster, the giant man, sees it, his eyes just light up like, oh, hell nah. Like, he knows this weapon could hurt him. And once Conan sees that it stopped him, he charges at him. He's like, here, he's actually scared of this sword. Conan charges at him and takes a swipe like at the giant's belly from the side by his ribcage, and it cuts him open, and all this gray shit just splits out, and the giant just lets out a huge roar, and his eyes again looks at the sword, and he's gone. He's like, oh, hell no, you know, he's got a way to kill me. And Conan's like, I got him on a run. He actually chases this giant down where, you know, because he's trying to run, and he's holding his blood and guts inside, and Conan just pretty much runs up behind him, and it's like a scene straight out of 300, where the guy jumps up and cuts the arm off the guy with the lasso. You know, that part where he's all, you know, we'll fight in the shade. The splash page is exactly like that. Conan's jumping up with the sword with both hands gripped, and he just stabs this monster right in the chest, puts him to sleep. And right when the monster, it's like I said, shaped like a man, starts heading towards the ground, he reverts back to his old form, which is like a demon. So this time he's not going for the slumber. He's dead. Like, Conan killed him right through his heart. I guess it's when he knew that could kill him, and the guy's dead. So when all that's said and done, he looks back at the temple, which was like in ruins when he got to the island in the first place, and it's in front of him. It changed, like, you know, it turned back brand new. So he knew something was wrong right away. But it goes back to the ruins. He gets Octavia. They start walking toward the shoreline and tells her, you know, I didn't do this for nothing. I came to collect what's rightfully mine, and that's you. And she's like, well, I'm not nobody's slave. And he just stares at her like, yeah, right. And she goes, you know what? Shut up and kiss me. They kiss, puts her on his arm, and they walk away to the shore, to the boat. And that's the end of issue 11. And that story, man, the Devil in Iron, that was part 5. Goddamn, was it a great read. Not only that, the art was fantastic. I recommend this Conan book from the jump. I recommend it again, especially if you want some new, fresh shit. No, nobody with superpower. No, you know, villains, heroes. Well, there's villains and heroes in different ways, but this is how people lived back then, man. You know, they were scared of curses, of stories, and, you know, they knew to stay away from certain things. It's a great book, man. I just pick it up. You'll see what I'm talking about. And I won't let you down. Trust me. You can trust my recommendations. You'll love this book. All right, now let's get into we dealt with. I was going to go with something funny, but no, let's get this one out the way. And this is Secret Empire number 7 by Marvel Comics. A lot of people are hating on the Secret Empire book, you know. But like I said before, it's not bad. It's not great, but it's not bad where you're just like, fuck this book, which a lot of people are. I pretty much like what's going down. You know, they brought back the Hulk, Bruce Banner Hulk. Some shit's going down with him in the last issue, or went down with him. And now everything's starting to... we're coming to that conclusion. I think this is 7... of 10. I want to say it's 10 books. Could be 12. I'm not sure. So, you know, we're drawing to that end. Let me just... For people who aren't reading this book, let me just give you a quick rundown of what's going on with the story, and then you'll get it from there. Okay, here we go. Secret Empire, issue 7. Steve Rogers, a.k.a. Captain America, has claimed the United States for Hydra. With most of Earth's heroes trapped in the Dark Force bubbles surrounding Manhattan or stranded behind the planetary defense shield, his power seems absolute. Black Widow believes that the only way to stop Captain America is to kill him. Recently, her team of young heroes helped her liberate a mysterious old man from a Hydra prison. A man Widow claims can win them the war. Meanwhile, Tony Stark hoped to save Captain America by resembling the cosmic cube that rewrote Steve's history in the first place. But when Ant-Man tipped Hydra off to the location of the underground base in exchange for his daughter's life, Steve showed up with an army and a temporarily resurrected Hulk. Fuck. That was a pretty badass issue, last issue. Captain America routed the underground and claimed their cube fragments, but at a terrible cost. His beloved Madame Hydra sacrificed herself to save him from the mount's destruction, and with the members of the underground presumed dead, there's nothing to stop Widow from going for the kill. So yeah, pretty much Captain America's running the United States as a Hydra agent, man. So if you're not caught up with the story, if you are reading it, let me know your thoughts. Let me know if you're feeling this book. For me, it's not a bad read, man. I'm actually enjoying it. It's not as, I don't think, as dope as us. I actually really love Secret War. It's the last one. There's a lot of cool shit happening. But this has its moments, man. And this book, they have a few of them. You have a flashback to, like, now this is where it gets tricky. Steve, the real Captain America, I guess, is, like, stuck. It looks like the Savage Land or some shit with another version of the Red Skull. And that's a whole story unto itself. Shit, I can't. If you jump in from this book at this point, it's not jump on friendly. You would have to go back to read the first book and go from there, and then it'll make sense. Me telling you about it, really not going to make sense. I'm just reviewing it for the people who are reading it. Hopefully I can get some feedback on what they thought about the book. But and I'm just reading the main issues. The one, Secret War 1, or was it Secret Empire 1, Secret Empire 2, so on and so forth. I'm not going into Captain America, Secret Empire, fucking Black Bolt, Secret Empire, and all that. I don't do that nonsense, man. If anything interesting happens in the side books, I'll hear about it, and then I'll make that connection to the main book. That's how I really am with those, with these big events. I just try to stick to the main story, unless something cool happens on the side of one of the other books, and then I'll pick that up and I'll read it. And it's something I always hear about, so it's not a big deal if I miss it at first. But anyway, so Black Widow, she's determined to kill Cap. She's like, I've had it with this fucker. He's dead. He's going down. And she goes after him, man. She gets to the base where was it the base or at the hideout where they're going for? Holy shit! Yeah, this is all bad. Now that I'm looking at this book, I didn't read issue 7. I read issue 6. Oh well, fuck. This I'm looking through the page. I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't right. This is not what happened in the last book. The synopsis is going this. That's what's going down here in issue 7. But what I was explaining to you guys, or what I thought I read first or this week, it was actually issue 6. So guess what, guys? I'm gonna have to put this one on hold because I didn't read it. I read issue 6 instead. And now that puts me a book behind on this. You know what? We'll save it for next week, okay? Just whoever's listening, if you're reading this book, give me feedback. Let me know how you felt about it. Hopefully by the time I read it, we can discuss it at length. In my next episode, I'll bring up some things anybody talked about. But that's totally my bad, man. Shit happens. I got busy and this book got misplaced, even though it's right here in my face. But I was behind. I read 6. I thought I read 7. That is not the case. Sorry, everyone. You guys are going to have to wait for that one for next week. Fuck it. Let's just bypass all the embarrassment there and get into a funny real quick. My bad, guys. My bad. I fucked up. Being professional and all. And then let me apologize for that episode last week while I'm at it. I had some technical difficulties with the music, with the intro in and the music going out. Something happened where I accidentally hit the speaker button, and while I record, that's the way I recorded it. So that's why you got that. It sounds like I was playing a boombox next to my, when I was recording, which was totally not the case. It was just an accident on my part, and that's how it came out. Sorry. Another thing is, you kept hearing music coming through the recordings because people were trying to call me. And me being the professional that I am, I left all my ringer on my, you know, when someone sends you a text and you get the ding, I left all that shit on. I totally forgot about that. I just got back from San Diego Comic-Con and I didn't even think about that shit, man. So I'm totally sorry for hitting all that junk. You shouldn't have heard it, man. I apologize. And so far so good in this episode. You're not hearing none of that shit. Just me trying to review a comic I didn't read. That's the only thing. But anyways, let's get back into one of the other books. And this one, it's a funny book. It's from Image Comics. It's called Shirtless Bear Fighter. And this is issue number 2. Now, I ain't know shit about this book until I heard Pete and Ramon from Pete's Basement talk about it. And it sounded fucking hilarious. So I'm like, oh, I got to read this damn book. And when I got to my shop, the week after, they still, you know, a lot of people didn't know about the book, so issue 1 was still there, so I was up for me to grab. I got that, and then after I read it, I loved it, and now I put it on my pull list. So, Yeah, pretty much it's about a dude who comes out the woods, like, butt naked when this couple, they're being attacked by a bear. They're having a picnic. They're getting attacked by this bear. And this butt naked dude comes out with his, I don't know, he has a pecker that's down by his knee because it's pixelated. It's fucking hilarious, man. The way they did this comic, I mean, it's so, so good. It's so funny. And he fights this bear and he kicks the shit out of it. And his name is Shirtless Bear Fighter. It's not Adam. It's not Junior. It's not Pete. Or it's not Dave. This is his fucking name, dude. And so, and he used to be like a fighter, a secret undercover agent. And back in the day, you know, like in Nam or some shit. That's how he knows like the main people who come and help him out. Anyways, that's issue one. Which pretty much there's a lot of bears around the world. They're going ape shit. They're attacking people, and they're huge fucking bears, man. And nobody knows why. So they get Shirtless to go fight a couple of them, which he does. He fights these two big ones in the city until they knock a building on them, and that's where issue one ended. And that's where we pick up in issue two. So pretty much Shirtless, he that's what we call him. That's what they call him in the book too. Shirtless. It's Shirtless Bear Fighter, but it's just Shirtless. He's buried in this rubble, and everybody's worried, like, oh, man, he's dead. What are we going to do about these bears? But there's the little kids playing soccer across the street, and the ball actually slips by them and goes towards the bear. The bear sees this, and, you know, they're in attack mode, so whatever in front of them, they're going to attack. And they start going after the kids when the main guy, he's like the captain, gives a shot, you know, a call out to the planes up ahead. Like, you know, drop the bombs. You know, we don't want the kids to die. Drop the bombs on the bear. But if you think about it, the bears are right where the kids are. They drop the bombs. Everybody's getting killed. And so the bombs go away. They're like atomic weapons, like really for bears. I mean, it's this book is really over the top, but that's the point. It's supposed to get you laughing. It's supposed to have you saying, what the fuck? No, they're not doing this. But they are, and they do it. So the bombs are dropping and get ready to explode. And this one Shirtless busts out of the rubble from the building, starts screaming, gives out a huge roar like a lion. Dude got some mean old beard too, and he jumps up and he grabs the bombs, crunches them in a hand, pretty much uses them as a, you know, when you pillow fight someone, you just wrap it up and you just start beating the shit out of people. Well, he does that with these atomic weapons. He crunches them up, makes them into like batons, and he starts smacking the shit out of these bears. And then it is funny. It shows like the poop poke. And there's a thing he does when he hits a bear, or when he hits you, or it's mostly bears. When he hits a bear, he yells out, "Bear punch!" Pow! And then it's fucking hilarious. And the bear goes flying like 15 miles this way. So in this one, after he beats the shit out of him with the missiles or the bombs, he stuffs them down each of their throats. There's two bears. And then he kicks the shit out of him. He yells out, "Bear kick!" And boom! The bears go flying across town where it's like empty lot. And that's where the bombs go off. And there was standing all the police force, the captain, his ace, which is a lady, I forgot her name, Kate or whatever, standing there like in awe after seeing Shirtless beat the shit out of these bears and kick them out of the, you know, into the other side of the city where they blew up. And they're pretty much like, okay, you took care of our problem, but it's going on around the world, Shirtless. Can you jump in your bear plane real quick? This dude has a plane made out of bear skin. It's fucking hilarious, man. And to those bear lovers, man, I this is not to be offensive. It's just the whole point of the book. It's to be over the top, funny. I mean, let me put the disclaimer out for them. You know, no real bears are hurt during the making of this comic. So that's what he does, man. He jumps in his bear plane and they go, okay, they need help in all these cities across the states. Can you fly down? He's like, I got it. He jumps in this plane and he takes off. And first, he's in Houston. There's three bears. Boom, he's knocking them out. There he goes. Then there's a panel of him in Atlanta. And they're circus bears. They're going nuts. But he goes there and he's kicking their ass. Then he's in New Orleans. Now, these New Orleans bears, they're covered in those, you know, the chains where the bras, they show their boobs and they throw them down and you get them. Or what do they call it? The beads. These bears are there. They're getting drunk, and they're getting these beads from doing I don't know what. But Shirtless is there, and he starts kicking their ass. And then the next panel is at New York, where he's like in a toy store, and there's like these toy stuffed bears. Like what's that damn the Bear Workshop? You guys know what I'm talking about. It's like a whole store full of those bears, and he starts going after them, killing those things. And from there, it shows him in a panel in Chicago. Because the football team, the Chicago Bears, because they're Bears, they're going us to. Dude, looking at this book right now, telling you guys, it's so goddamn funny. Because, come on, when they said all the Bears in the country think it's worse, you'll see, are going nuts. I mean, come on, the Chicago Bears, the football team. So he's there in downtown Chicago where they had that big old spear, that alien ship-looking thing, and he's kicking their asses, the Chicago Bears. He's, like, beating them down, man, the whole team. It's hilarious. And right after Chicago is a panel of San Francisco. And he's fighting all the San Francisco Bears. Now, if you ain't up on game, if you don't know that what that San Francisco culture like, not to be offensive or to be a dick about it, but just look into it and you'll see what up. Just Google San Francisco Bear or Bear San Francisco. You'll get the gist of it. And this book, it shows that. He's there and he's beating the shit out of these Bears in San Francisco. And after that, Jesus Christ. The panel alone, man, just, oh my God. Oh, okay. Let me stop. Whew. All right. After he's done beating down the San Francisco Bears, it shows them in Seattle. The city's in ruin. There's Bears upside down, stuck in the like mud, beaten to death. You know, they got their X's on their eyes. Like, he's done. He's standing there, you know, fist balled up, his chest out with the captain's like, man, I've never seen anything like that. We owe our lives to you, shirtless. You're the best. You know, it reminds me of that time in Nam. And it goes into a backstory where the captain's like in Vietnam and he's walking. He runs into a damn panda bear. He pulls out a knife. The panda bear pulls out a knife and they're circling each other getting ready to kill. That's when shirtless comes out and just destroys the fucking panda bear. It's over. So that's from that moment on, the captain's indebted to him. And they get the scientists to figure out that it's not just the bears going crazy. Someone's making them go crazy. They're getting fed this something. Something's in their system making them go crazy. So they explain it. Okay, it's this. It's some kind of pork. Or he's like, no, it's not pork. It's bacon. It's magical bacon. Yeah, you heard that. Magical bacon. Oh, man, I hope you guys are still sticking around for this one. Pretty much it's this hog dude in Alabama. He's like a white trash hog. His name's actually Hillbilly. And he's like a half pig, half man kind of thing. And he makes this bacon, I guess, that he uses to control. He's like a wizard. So shirtless hits him up like, dude, me and you, we had our problems, but we squashed it. It's all good. Why are you sending these bears out to kill all these people? He's like, I'm not sending bears out to do shit. He pretty much said, a little while ago, some government came and asked if I can help them, and he told them to fuck off. Well, I guess they got into a little altercation, but while there, he was fighting the government men, one of their main guys came behind and stole some of the bacon, and that's what he's been feeding the bears. So he's all, you know about the bacon, shirtless. You know, it's really strong, so you can't blame the bears. And he convinces shirtless to take a bite of this bacon, and it drives him nuts. And he's like, okay, now you belong to me. Now you're my bitch. You know, you came over here starting shit. Now you're my bitch. And he opens up his shirt. He goes, I want you to butter all my teats. And this man pig has teats, dude. Like, Jesus, fuck it. It's fucking disgusting, but it's hilarious at the same time. Because he gives shirtless like a melted bar of butter, and he's like, you know, butter up my teats. Oh, man, the dude's squeezing them, and he's, like, shaking them. A couple of them even have, like, piercings in the nipples. Dude, it's all bad, dude. But it's hilarious. I mean, like I said, it's the whole point of the book. Anyways, right when Shirtless is about to butter up this man pig's teeth, he snaps out of it. He has visions of why he's doing this mission in the first place, why he hates the bears, the people he lost in his life. And he snaps out of it, and then he's like, nah, you done got me, pig. And he takes a swing at him. Pig Doug's like, sorry, man, I'm sorry, you know, you're shirtless, I had to try, you know. And so Shirtless like, okay, just tell me who took the damn bacon, and I'll go after them. Hillbilly pretty much tells him, this is where you need to go. To me, this looks like a trap, but I'm guaranteeing wherever you go next, they know you're coming, and it will be a trap. Sure enough, Shirtless goes to his lodge, which is made out of bear skin, and it's on fire. And right when he's there, and he's like, holy shit, that's my house. He actually names his house Lodger. You know, it's Lodge in the woods. Anyway, so he gets down on his knees and he cries out, Lodger! And tears are coming out of his eyes. And while he's crying, this big old black bear just comes and hits him in the back of the head with a baseball bat. Knocks him out. And from there, they take him and they put him in a chopper and they chain him up. And that's where the issue ends. Like I said, it's a funny, hilarious book. If you want something just to bring a little levity, just to, you know, if you're reading all this serious shit, all these assassin zombie shit I brought you earlier, Secret Empire, all this superhero shit, and you want to get away for a little bit, I recommend this book, man. It's so damn good. By Image Comics, the writer is, it's created by Jody Lee Hipp, Sebastian Gurner, and Neil Vendrell. Written by Jody Lee Hipp and Sebastian Gurner. The art by Neil Vendrell, it's a cartoony art, but that, like I said, that's the point of the whole book. You're supposed to be like, oh shit, it's a little over the top, a little cartoony. But it's fucking hilarious, man. I just pick this book up, read issue one. If it doesn't get you by then, just leave it alone, walk away, and never read the book again. But it's just some funny shit. Not only do I dig it, when I gave it to my wife and I went to go watch the Dodger game, I remember this day, last week, I'm like, okay, read the book, I'm going to go watch the game in the living room. And she started reading it. You could just hear her laughing. And, oh my God, like, really? Like, holy shit, they did that? It's one of those books where you get those kind of reactions. I recommend it. My wife recommends it. Pete and Ramon from Pete's Basement recommend it. Just pick it up, dude. $2.99. You'll like this book. Give it a shot. You'll laugh your fucking ass off. All right, now let's get back into some real shit. This next book, it's from Boom Studios. It's actually 2 weeks old, but I picked it up last week. It's not on my pull list. I just heard some good shit about it. They recommended it to me at my shop, so I'm like, you know what? Let me pick it up. I'll give issue one a shot. Like I told you guys, I give, you know, issues 1 to 3, maybe through the first arc, and then I'll know if I'm going to stick with it or not. So this book here, it's Sisters of Sorrow. Brought to you by Kurt Sutters. I guess he's like the writer or the showrunner behind that damn motorcycle gang shit on Fox. You guys know what I'm talking about with dude in their motorcycle gang. It's been off there for like 2-3 years now. I had the name and I wrote it down somewhere in my notes because I never watched the damn show, even though a couple people told me, yeah, you know, watch it. You might get a kick out of it. Never watched it, but it's that guy, the creator of that show. Motorcycle guy, that it's this same writer. And this is brought to you by Boom Studios. Okay, so he's writing it, him and Courtney Alameda, and it's illustrated by Hyo-Jin Kim. Off the bat, the art, it's gritty, it's dark. It matches the tone of this book, man. So pretty much what we got, it's we got like this home for battered women, right? Right off the jump, like the shit just hits the fan. Where they're there talking about, hey, it actually says at home for battered and abused women. They're all in the bathroom. They just showered up. They're brushing their teeth. There's about 4 women in there. And they're talking about this other lady's court case where she's going to court to fight for her children. And I guess her ex-husband's a cop. So she pretty much has no hope. Like, you know, the cop's going to be behind them. They're going to say, I did some dirty shit. Which is pretty much what happens, but we'll get into that in a little bit. And right when they're talking about the case, there's this whole time while they're going, it's going back and forth with their panel, them talking, and this dude jumping over a wall, sneaking into the building. He knocks out the security guard. He's creeping room by room, surely getting to the bathroom where they're all gathered. And this dude looks upset, like he came here to hurt somebody. And right when one of the girls is like, all right, ladies, I'm calling it tonight, you know, good luck at your case tomorrow, I'll see you guys in the morning. She starts opening the bathroom door, and this dude's just standing there. And the lady's like, who are you? And one of the girls in the back with the other girls are all talking about the case. She turns around. She goes, oh, my God, Leon. Turns out it's this woman, it's her ex-husband. And they close the door on him. They're like, what do we do? I'm like, it's my ex-husband. He said he's going to come kill me before we go to court. That's what he's here to do. And they're like, the women, there's a Hispanic one and a African-American woman. They're like, you know what? We grew up. Like, we protect ourselves. There's 5 of us here. We could stop one man. Let's gang up on him and hold him down. And Ryan was like, okay, yeah, we'll let him through. We'll gang up on him, hold him down. You just hear a click, click, and it shows it on the other side of the door. Dude's loading up. And he starts firing at the door. Just unloads, man. While the girls, one of the other girls knew what that sound was. She grew up in the hood. She realized, you could tell by the look on her face, like, holy shit, that's a gun. And I like when the artists do this where, I mean, it's in the writer had something to do with this, I'm sure. But it's not in the word bubbles, but you could tell what the artist was doing by the look. Once you see the click sound, the word bubble, and you see her face like, oh shit, a motherfucker's gonna start shooting. She grew up in the hood, she knows that sound. And by just the look on her face, man, I fucking got that. I was right there with her, like, she knew what was going on. So dude unloads on the door, bullets fly through the door, boom, 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 and they hit. They actually hit his ex-wife. You know, he's going wild. He came to kill her. He starts shooting crazy at the door. You know, fuck it. If I'm going to kill, I'm going to kill all. It's pretty much where his mindset's at. And once the girl get away from the door, he kicks it down. And he's looking. And he noticed he shot his wife. You know, he came there with the intention to shoot her. But I guess they want to kill her because right away he loses his shit. He's like, oh, my God, I shot my wife. Oh, her name's Allie. He's like, Allie, please, I didn't mean to hurt you. And while he's there, like, tripping out what he done, the other women start getting close to him. They pick up chains, like a lock, whatever they can, and they just start jumping the dude. They jump on him, try to hit him, but come on, they're five women. I'm not to say shit, but this is a pretty big dude. And once a guy hits a woman, it's a totally different impact, man. I mean, they're going at it with him. They're trying to strangle him, use some of their like the hair blow dryer and like a curling iron, trying to hit him, but he's taking these hits. All he has to do is punch them, and they're down. And that's pretty much what he does. He kicks one in the stomach, she's down. He takes another one, a fist to another one's jaw, she's down. Elbows another chick, she's down. So he's taking them down like nothing. And he tells them, like, what the hell is wrong with you, bunch of dumb bitches? Like, he had remorse when he found out he killed his wife, but he snapped back in the mode, like, okay, they try to jump me. Hey, I ain't going out like that. And he's like, you know what, since I have you guys all here, he's like, fuck it, I might as well kill all you guys. Didn't realize that one of the other girls took his gun. And right when he starts moving to her, boom, boom, shots to the dome. Dude is down. He is dead. And the girls start to panic. Like, oh, what do we do? You know, we're already in this shit. We're going to court. How do we explain this? Some girls are like, you know what? Let me call my brother. He knows how to handle this shit. You know, real convenient for the story there. But, hey, you know, sometimes you know people. And sure enough, it goes to the next panel where her brother's dressed like a priest, man. He has that collar, but he's wearing a dark jacket. You know, it's dark as hell, big dude. It looks like her older brother. He says, what happened? And the sister goes, it was an accident. He just pretty much says, okay, say no more. Everybody, this is the story. He tells them what happened. Like, the girl ran away. We couldn't find her. We'll clean up this mess. I'll take care of everything. And once it gets through the pages of all that, it shows all the women who were there that night being interrogated by the cops. And they're like, what happened to your friend? Why was there blood of the dude? How come they're both men? They're interrogating all these, the people in the room, and they all got the same story. Like, dude, we don't know what happened. We're all getting ready one that night. I had a big court case. She had a court case. And we're going to go to bed, and that's the last time we saw her. You know, she did mention about seeing her husband one last time. So we have feelings that she snuck out. So they all stuck to this story, and the cops didn't believe them. One of the cops who was investigating them was the other girl's husband. And he's there with the chief of police, who's his fucking dad, right? So you're like, right away, like, oh, this motherfucker, they're not going to believe her. And right away, they're like, well, she's lying. She's lying like she lied about all the shit you did to her, right, son? And the ex-husband like, yeah, of course she's lying about that shit. We'll get her tripping. We'll put her in jail. It'll be easier for me to take the kids. It was going down that kind of route. When the women get back to their house where they're staying, they get a call from the brother who helped them clean up the mess. The guy was killed, and he pretty much tells the sister, you know what? I need you guys to come down here. I'm going to start training you guys for something because you guys, what happened, if you guys think about it, it could happen again. One of these other girls' ex-husband might come and try to do the same shit. One of those motherfuckers is a cop. You know, he'll have easier access. Let me help train you guys. So he takes them to, like, this underground boxing ring where they not only have weights, they have weapons to train with, they got a shooting range. It's just like the underground shit. I guess this dude's connected in some way, some form. Very interesting character. I hope we get more of him. He's having them box, you know, hit the sandbags. They're just going to work. He's putting them to work. And sure enough, after their session, one of the girls gets ready for a court day, and they start wishing each other good luck. And when one of them says, hey, you know what? I don't think I could do this. We should go to the cops and tell them what happened. And all the other girls gang up on her, and they're like, why? You're the one that had it worse than us. You know, why wouldn't you want to get away with something like this? Think about it. We'll go after the guy that did this shit to you. We'll kill that motherfucker if we have to. And, it curses. This book is not for kids, man. It's an adult theme. So yeah, so I don't recommend you reading it to your kids or letting them read it after you. You know, teenagers, yeah, they'll get it. It's not nudity and shit like that, but there's killings, a lot of curse words. Anyways, the other girl decides, like, fuck it, I'm gonna just ride with these other girls because they're right, I've been through some shit. And it shows them setting up a trap for the policeman. Oh, I guess I missed something. So it did work out how the cops thought, the ex-husband, where they didn't believe her. And, you know, because he's a cop, because his dad's the chief at the station, and he had his son's back saying, no, she went crazy a few times. You know, the kids belong with my son. And she lost the case. So she loses it. She's like, you know, fuck that. I'm not going to let him get away with that shit. You know, he did something dirty. I want to kill him. And the girl's like, you know what? Fuck it. If you're going to do that, we're going to go after everybody that's hurt her, and we'll do the same shit. And the brother's like, well, I trained you guys. I'm doing what I can, but I'm not going to have train you guys to kill people. I just want you guys to protect yourself. So the girls, they get together and make their own plans of where they're going to trap the cop. They got, like, police scanners, and she's like, I'm going to do this. No, but yeah, he's my ex-husband, but hell no. I'm not going to let him get away with this. So pretty much they get where they got his cop car, and they're following him through police scanners. And his ex-wife, which is the main girl, the one who lost the case, jumps on the bike and starts riding crazy in front of him like a motorcycle bike and gets his attention. You know, she's swerving in and out. And once he hits the light, she turns around and shoots at him. Even worse. So he's like, oh, hell no. So he starts chasing her in his car on a motorcycle. You know, she's on a motorcycle. He's in his car, in his cop car. Horn, you know, the sirens are going, chasing her on the freeway. And he's trying to call for backup. But his radio not working, like it got scrambled out, and that's because of the brother. He knows how to do some of that shit, so he had his radio get scrambled where his calls aren't going out. So he's pretty much on his own, and he's following her all through this maze of, you know, after the freeway, down in, like, in the what area is that, like the wash areas, if you guys are familiar with that. Sure enough, they get to this spot where it's all darkened, and she knows where she's going because she had her people set it up, the other girls. Once she gets past a certain point, they're supposed to turn the lights on, and it works to perfection. Because once she gets her motorcycle through the front gate, there's nothing but brick walls through the side of each of those. But you can't tell because the cop's driving in the dark, and he's going after her. He's like running her ass. So the other lady's there. Once he gets to a certain point, he turns on the light, and he sees the wall too late. Boom, crashes into it. And he's fucking done. He's totaled. He's hanging out the car all bloody, eyes hanging out, busted nose. And his wife goes up to him and said, did you think you'd get away with this? Did you think you'll be able to hurt me like you hurt our children? And he's all, you're crazy. I've never did nothing wrong. It's you. You're just in your head. You know, this is all you. You're mad because you lost this and that. And he pretty much tells her, you know, you're crazy. None of what you're saying happened. It's all in your head. And she's like, you're full of shit, and I'm not going to let you get away with it. And then one of the girls are, well, maybe he's telling the truth. Let's think about this. And, you know, you can't just kill a cop. You know, people just don't do that. And she says, want to bet? Pulls the gun to his head, pulls the trigger. Cop is dead. The rest of the women are there standing in horror. You know, this is where they're planned. They're all down to kill somebody. But when it happened, I don't think they're ready for it. After they kill the cop, they get together, and one of them says, we're going to do this. We're going to kill everybody who's hurt us. And they agree. They're in this together now. No turning back. Once they kill the cop, it's over. That's how the book ends. Issue 1, Sisters of Sorrow. It was a pretty badass fucking book. It's dark, gritty ass art. It was real. I love the way it was written, man. Me and my wife both love this book. So we're going to put it on our pull list. Give it a shot. Hopefully it stays where it's going. And it's pretty different. No superheroes, no superpowers. Just people out for revenge. If you see the cover I got now, it's one of them. It's the main character. She's dressed in a nun's outfit, and she has an Uzi on each hand. It's a great cover, man. I'm thinking about taking this to show with me, probably the next big show, which is Stanley Kamikaze. Hopefully I'll find a writer and artist there and have them sign it. It's just a gorgeous book, and I got myself a great copy. So absolutely recommend Sisters of Sorrow. If you want to read something different from all the superheroing, jump into that, and you're good to go. All right, now, reviews are done. Let's get into tomorrow's drops, man. A lot of books coming out on Wednesday, which would be August 2nd. And damn, it's going to be I see a lot of books on my pull list, but just a lot of books in general. And we'll start off with DC. Tomorrow's drops. Here we go. Batman number 28. War of Jokes and Riddles Part 4. Now, I told you guys about this book, man. If you ain't picking it up, go to your comic book store with this drop on Wednesday. Pick up this book. Go in and pick 27, 26, and 25 up, man. It's been a good fucking story so far. Do not sleep on it. That's Batman number 28. Next we got... Now that I'm on it real quick, let me not forget that Batman 28 has two covers. One from the artist of the book who's doing the interior art. And the other cover, which is cover B, is by Neil Adams. I mean, he's still drawing shit. If I get a chance, that's the cover I want. Even though the cover with Joker and Riddler playing cards looks fucking great. You know what? I'm going to buy both. That's some serious nerd shit right there. That's what I do. I'm going to just end up getting both of them and get Neil Adams to sign his variant cover. That's just the kind of shit I do. All right, so let's get back into it. Okay, we got Bane Conquest number 4. I'm not reading this book, but one of my good friends, Felipe Tarosti, reading it. He digs it. He says it's pretty cool. The story's good. The art's a little wonky, but the story's keeping him around. So if you're into that Bane quest, you're looking for the next drop, it's dropping tomorrow, August 2nd. And from there, we go to Deathstroke number 22. Book I'm not reading, have no interest in. I don't know who's reading it. If you guys are reading it, if you think it's good, let me know. After that, we got Green Arrow 28. Not reading that. Nightwing 26. Nope. Superman 28. Nala. Green Lantern 28. Ain't fucking with it. Justice League 26. Not even touching it. Okay, this is one from DC that's actually in my pool list. This is Savage Things, number 6 of 8, drops tomorrow. Wow, that took a while to drop. So I got to make sure I got the other books because I remember 5 dropping. It's a pretty good book so far. Doesn't have anything to do with the superheroes in DC. It's just for coming out the company. It's a totally different thing. It's another like terrorist assassin group kind of thing. It's a pretty badass read. I recommend that. So check it. Savage Things, number 6. Drops tomorrow. All right, let's go to IDW. IDW has 2 notable drops. Notable drops tomorrow. One, which is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, number 73. And we got G.I. Joe, number 242. Goddamn, 242. Who's reading G.I. Joe right now? For real. Anybody listening, if you're reading G.I. Joe, let me know what's going on in that fucking book. 242, holy fucking shit. Let me know if it's good. I don't think I've ever heard anything about that shit, but let me know. Let your boy know what's up. All right, let's go to Image now. East of West, number 34. Now, this is another book along the lines of Saga, where a lot of people told me about. But it's way... Well, it's not as far up as Saga. Saga's like in the late 40s, 50s in numbers. This is issue 34. I think I can get into this, man. I've heard a lot of good shit about it. A lot of people recommend it to me. I might jump on in the first couple of trades and read the book from there. So that's something I'm looking forward to getting into. I think I'm going to start doing that now. All right, so still from Image, we got the God Country trade drops tomorrow, man. So if you guys remember on my intro episode, I talked about God Country, which was fucking dope. Probably the second best story I've read so far this year, if not the top. It is that fucking good. So if you missed out on the books, which are all pretty expensive right now, especially 1 and 2, which I'm proud to say I own first prints of those. Get the trade, man. The trade, it's $12.99. That ain't shit. Read this book. It's fucking dope, man. You will not regret it. This is one of the other ones where it just came out of left field. It has some good storytelling in the arts. It goes along with the books. Really dope. Don't sleep on it. That's the God Country trade. Okay, so next one is we got 7 to Eternity. This is a book on my pull list. It's one of my favorite reads. It's a great original story. Rick Remender, I think he's writing that. One of my favorite writers. And the artist is great, too. The name escapes me, but goddamn. Number 8 drops tomorrow, so if you're keeping up with that, check on number 8. Don't sleep on it. Next, we got Walking Dead 163. I dropped the Walking Dead book a while ago, man. So it wasn't that it was getting bad or anything. It's just I was reading too much, and that's just one that I kept falling behind on. I'm gonna just drop it. I did pick up a recent issue not too long ago. It was Andrea's Death, which is a pretty thick book, and I'm glad I picked it up. I liked it a lot, so Number 163, Walking Dead drops tomorrow. All right, still from Image, we got Six Criminals 26. Don't really know about that. I know it's a lot of people like that book, but I haven't read anything about it. But if you're interested, issue 26 drops tomorrow. Also from Image, we got Hadrian's Wall number 8. This is another book I've heard a lot about, and I think it's like 8 of 10. So I know this is probably wrapping up real quick. It's one of those short series heard a lot of shit about, but since I've missed the first 7 issues, Ace is too late to jump into. I'll just wait for the trade, and I'll give it a shot. I'll let you guys know if it's any good. All right, so now we go to the big boy, Marvel. God damn, they got a lot of shit coming out tomorrow. Okay, so well, Marvel Comics, we got Avengers number 10. Another book I'm not messing with. If you're reading Avengers, let me know if it's good, man. Okay, after that, we got Black Bolt number 4. Just recently came out too long ago. You can see number 4. I'm not reading it, so we'll just pass from there. After that, we got Champions number 11. Now, this was a book I was reading, but it got a little too kiddy for me, if you know what I mean. I heard it's big with teenagers, but a lot of adults do like to read this book. I guess it takes them back to like the young Spider-Man kind of thing. Probably because one of the characters in the book is Spider-Man, Miles Morales Spider-Man, who's a team member of that group. Heard good things after I left it. You know, I had the first 3 issues. I just couldn't keep up with it after that, so I moved on. So if you're interested, Champions number 11 drops tomorrow. Okay, now this is interesting. So next book we got is Hulk Generation number 1, which has 5 variant covers. And since I'm on variant covers right now, let me cover something real quick. I guess this month, Marvel's doing a variant compilation of Marvel versus Capcom. So you'll get like, this one has like, who is it? Ryu fighting Hulk. This is one of the variants. It looks fucking dope, man. And I guess they're going to be dropping these variants throughout their books all this month. So if you're interested in those Marvel versus Capcom variants, look for your books. Every new drops, you'll find something new this week, I believe. So let's get back to Hulk Generations 1. Like I said, 5 variant covers. One in which I'm very interested in is the Alex Ross one. Now, these Generation books are all going to have an Alex Ross cover, and I'm pretty much going to get every one. I don't know if it's just a one-shot number one or if it's going to go on. All I'm interested in, really, to be honest, is just the number one with the Alex Ross covers. And if it's a good story, I'll go on from there. So check that out. Okay, next we got Iron Fist number 6. Not reading it. If you are, if it's good, let me know. After that, we got Jessica Jones number 11. Another one I'm not messing with. After that, we got Hawkeye number 9. Hawkeye is just, I don't know, man. I don't think he can carry his own book. If I'm wrong, you're reading it, you love it, let me know. After that, we got another. Now, here's one on my pull list. Miles Morales, Spider-Man number 19. Who's writing that? Brian Michael Bendis, he's writing that. It's just been, Miles Morales, Spider-Man, it's just been a hit with me since it dropped. Me, my son loves it, my wife loves it. Pretty much everyone I know who reads the book loves that book. So it's definitely, it will remain on my pull list. It's just, I love that character. I love what they're doing with him. It's just one of my favorite books right now. One of my only Marvel books, if you guys remember me saying. So that's Miles Morales, Spider-Man number 19. Okay, so after that, we got Spider-Man Deadpool number 20. God damn, number 20. Damn, who's reading that book? Like, for reals. If you're reading that book, let me know. I think it got number 1 because of that Marvel Legends variant, which was fucking dope as shit. And how come we haven't got that Spider-Man with the camera and shit on that cover? If you don't know what I'm talking about, check it out. You'll see what I mean. But goddamn, issue 20, that's a year. That's over a year. Dude, that's almost 2 fucking years. Somebody's reading this book. I'll be honest with you. I read the book. It was trash. I didn't like anything about it. I mean, the art was okay, but goddamn, if you're sticking, I mean, it's an issue. It's pushing 2 years, so I'm guessing some people like it. I ain't fucking with it. You know, if I'm missing out, let me know. Okay, another book we got is X-Men Gold number 9. Which is not an X-Men book. The only X-Men book I'm reading is a new one that just came out, The Astonishing. I'm gonna stick with that. All the other books I'm messing with. So if you liking it, you think it's good, let your boy know. Okay, so after that, oh, here we go. Another one on my pull list. Darth Vader number 4. Oh boy. This has 2 covers, A and B, and they're both fucking great. So this is one of those things where I'm gonna do that serious nerd shit and buy both covers because, you know, I'm on that serious nerd shit. The story so far has been so fucking good, man. Darth Vader is just one of my favorite characters of all time. Not my favorite Sith Lord. one of my favorite Star Wars characters of all time, but one. He probably cracks my top five, but if not, maybe six, if not before the five. You know, I'm just that dude just in love with characters like Darth Bane and Darth Revan. Blade Master, fucking Chasm from the books. Just goddamn, it's Darth Vader is just a great book. If you're not reading it, you're fucking sleeping. I recommend it. I know there's not a lot of Star Wars fans out there, or there is, but people who are reading comics are reading this book. You're sleeping on it because not only is the art just great, book in and book out, but the writing on this is top notch, and you're sleeping on it. So jump on that. Can't wait to read it. That's going to be probably the first book I read when it drops. Or that, or 7 to Eternity, which is my shit. So that's pretty much it. We get nothing from Aftershock. Well, nothing notable. Boom Studios, they're bringing us Zero. And Dark Horse, nothing. No notable drops for tomorrow. So, okay, there it is. Tomorrow drops. Stick around. I got a few feedbacks to read. But before we do all that, let's go into my must-read throwback. Here we go. Let's get into it. Must-read throwback, which is one of my favorite segments of this show, because I love giving the listeners something, you know, maybe they heard about, maybe they've read when they were a kid, and just bring back the memory. Maybe they had a friend that had the comic, you read it at the house, and like, holy shit, I remember that book. I gotta find it for me now, excuse me, which was a lot of my situation at that time, you know, especially when I was young. I remember my buddy Jason, who grew up with me, he had his dad's comics, and then his dad was buying him his comics. So every time I read a cool fucking book, most of the time it was from his collection until my collection got real serious, you know, in my later teens. So I always thank my buddy Jay to really, really let me dig into his dad's fucking Golden Age books and reading those old stories, man. This is not one of those, though. This is just something, you know, I don't know where I went off on that. It just reminded me of how I got into this book. I think he was one of the main guys. He loved Thor. I remember he introduced me into a Thor Hulk versus Thor book, which is a great book, and I own now. I think I have two copies now, and I recommended it to people. That's actually on my throwback must-read throwback list, but it's not going to be for this week. But it is going to be a Thor story. That's why I was kind of bringing it to you. It actually happens in the Atlantis Attack annual, the Mighty Thor Atlantis Attack. This is annual 14. Now, I brought up Atlantis Attack, the What If, how it's one of my favorite, if not my favorite comic of all time. Well, when I was going around collecting the books, and I found this Thor book, which is one of the first Atlantis books I found, the Attack of Atlantis books I found. After you read the events of Atlantis Attacks, with the annuals in Marvel Comics, there's always like five different stories. The main story and three other stories of that character, with this being a Thor book on the side. Now this book, the story inside the Thor annual, which is about six pages, real short, real sweet, but man, did it leave an impression on me. I mean, there's like hardly any dialogue. I mean, Thor doesn't say but a few words, but you read a little bit of what's going on in his head, of what's going on, what his surroundings are. So let me get into the story. So this is a story called God's Hope, and it's brought to you by Bob Layton. He's a writer. Ernie Chan is the artist. Now, right away, the artist in this short story, by far, is one of the best I've seen in any comic. It is so clean. Like, to see Thor
like a god. He's drawn like a god, man, and he looks so, the lines are so clean, the colors are great. It's just, man, I'll put a picture on a post when I posted just the inside of this book for you to see what I'm talking about and how awesome this was to me as a kid. And even now when I read it, man, it just, this story, even though it's short, it might bring a tear to your eye, man. It's some sad shit. So basically the story is, like I said, it's about 5 or 6 pages long. It's the year 3209. Earth is pretty much, it's decimated. It's just a black planet, you know, where the, if you get to Earth, the lands are, they're just barren. It's like just waste. There's nothing. No plants, no people, no forms of life, no water, just like a dust bowl. Well, you get this tornado just spinning out of nowhere, you know, in the future. This crazy tornado spinning, it looks like a dust devil. I don't know if you guys are familiar with those, or daredevils. And so in the middle of this fucking desert in the plains of this Earth of the future, all wasteland and shit, and the tornado stops. Right there we have our God of Thunder. I mean, he looks fucking gorgeous. I'm not saying like, you know, like Thor's gorgeous. I'm saying the drawing, the way he is on this page is so good. Well, you see Thor, he's holding his hammer. He stops and looks around. And then the next panel is just a face shot. He looks somber, like sad. Like he just stares off to a distance and he looks like in his head thinking, what the hell happened? Well, there, the wars, whatever war happened that killed everybody, he's reminiscing on that. And he's reminiscing on how, and he's thinking in his head how he didn't have the power to stop what happened. And the next panel shows him while he's walking around. The cities are pretty much burnt. Like the buildings are tumbled over. They're burnt to a crisp. Everything's black and brown. And he just gets his hammer, shoots in the air, and he flies off. And he flies hundreds of miles and is still seeing nothing but land, nothing but dirt, buildings, boat, no water. Like he could see the bottom of the seas and there's nothing, no signs of life. And he keeps flying around. It shows him fly for a day, for a night. And he just flies a little bit more until he finally comes down to New York. Now, you know it's New York because you get the Statue of Liberty melted. It's like melted and broken. And Thor just looks at it, stands in front of it for a little while, and just drops to his knees. He drops to his knees, and he puts his hand to his face, and he starts crying. Oh, man, you get no words. You just see it. Just seeing it, man, just makes me, when I seen it as a kid, I'm like, oh, like, what the fuck happened? Like, holy shit. Like, why is the God of Thunder, the Mighty Thor, why is he crying? And he's, like, bawling, like, tears coming out of his eye. And finally, he snaps out of it. He stands up, and he yells. He just lets out this roar, and he puts his hammer out into the sky. And lightning just comes out from everywhere, hits the hammer, and he's standing there, the God of Thunder, all strong, screaming his lungs out. And then rain starts to fall, and he stops screaming. He stands straight, looks up to the sky. The rain's it's going in with his tears. It's blending together. His face is just full of water and tears while there's thunder crackling around him. And the rains just keep coming down, noticing it's coming down. The earth probably hasn't water in so long. And when Thor looks down, opens his eyes, looks in front of him, we have the Watcher. The main Watcher just standing there. He's looking at Thor, and his eyes light up with a bright. He raises his hand and shoots out a beam to let Thor know, I'm here too. And Thor sees the Watcher, and just the tears fade away. The rain's still falling, but he smiles. And the Watcher just nods at him like, I understand, but I'm here too. You're not alone. Thor smiles. The rain keeps falling. He gets into his tornado spin. Boom, and he takes off while the Watcher watches. Watcher watches. I guess I just said that. And Thor disappears in a flash, and the Watcher disappears too. And then we see the Earth, this black moon-looking planet, just deserted, beat. But rain's coming down. Maybe life comes out of that. And it ends. And that's it. 6 pages, man. 6 strong fucking pages. No dialogue. Tells you what happened. A little bit of a backstory to it. But it's so... It just hits you, man. Again, it's called God's Hope. And you can read this in Thor Annual 14, which is the Atlantis Attack, which is probably the second to the end. The last second to the last chapter. In chapter 13, Atlantis Attack. This story, man. I bought the book for Atlantis Attack, but when I read this story, as a kid, it just, fuck, man, it just, I loved it. It's actually 7 pages long. 9 pages, excuse me. But no dialogue, just beautiful art. Everything's in the face of the character. And it makes you feel bad for Thor because he thought he was alone this whole time until the Watcher shows up, smiles, takes off. It's a great goddamn story. One of my favorites, man. Ugh, shit, just thinking about it, just looking at it again. You guys find this book for $2. If you're collecting Lands Attacked, if you have this book, if you've never thought about reading the short stories in the back, read A God's Hope. Look it up online. I'm pretty sure it's online somewhere. Read A God's Hope. And with that, you get my must-read throwback. The story being God's Hope from Thor Annual 14. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Find it, read it, love it. You won't regret it. All right, back. Let's get in with the outros. For the outros, we got a little listener feedback. Let me read that off. I won't take up too much more of your time. Get out some shout-outs, and then I'll let you guys go on about your day. So let's get into it. Comments and feedback. This is from Instagram, and we got something from 80s Baby. And he says, great second episode, sir. Talking about last week's episode. I'm not a comic book reader, but enjoy listening to all the dope shit you talked about. Thank you, appreciate it. I collect a few comics, mostly the Marvel hip hop variants, the ones that grab my eye with their artwork. I'm glad I subscribe. So I'm guessing he's feeling the show. All I can say is, man, thank you, super appreciate it. Glad you gave this show a chance. Even if you're not reading comics, you know, some people don't. They just like hearing the stories, and maybe that'll intrigue them enough to go pick up the book. If you're doing that, fuck, I'm doing my job, man. So thank you so much, 80s Baby. Appreciate it, dude. Thank you. Okay, so another one we got is from I Fought a Lion. And this is what he says. Serious Nerd Shit is a nice podcast. I enjoy your enthusiasm. Thank you. What I like to hear from the show is a maybe once a month, you do a focused and in-depth review of a comic book story or event. For example, Executioner's Song, Age of Apocalypse, the Korvac Saga, and so on. Before I read the rest of, because there's a second part of that. Dude, that is a great fucking idea, I Fought a Lion. I talked to him about it on, we were going back and forth, and I told him I fucking love that idea. And what's funny, Executioner's Song and Age of Apocalypse are on my throwback must-read. But those stories are so big. I think Executioner's Song is like 14 books, and Jesus, we all know Age of Apocalypse is like 30 something goddamn books, you know, all the little stories in between, the books in between, but the main stories. But I think he has a good point, man, to break it down as a 1 month special and get in depth, go really into the story, and maybe drop an hour and a half show just on the story alone. I think that's a great fucking idea. And you know what, you're right, dude, that's what I'm gonna do. So at the end of this month, you know, well, let me get into the rest of what he said, and then you guys know what I'm talking about. After that, he says, and I'm talking super in-depth, spoil-filled discussions. Let the listeners know what you'll be discussing ahead of time so we have time to read it and share our thoughts. It could go on almost forever. I absolutely agree. There are so many comic events. Executioner's Song was the first comic event I ever read. I have an affinity for the 90s because that is the decades I was super into comics. Dude, I'm right there with you. That is probably one of the biggest, the first main event I read. And I loved it because of Cable. You got to know Cable because I was Strife and him being his brother. God damn, is that a good story. And like I said, it was on my must-read throwbacks list. It's one of my favorite stories of all time. Some people shit on it. Even if you read now, I still feel the same when I read it as a kid. It's a fucking great story, man. And, you know, I'm glad you called it, bro. I Fought a Lion, because that is the first in-depth spoil-filled review. I'm gonna call them one-shots. Spoil-filled one-shots. They're gonna come probably at the end of the month. It's gonna be after you hear the regular show. You're gonna get this one-shot. So think of these episodes as issues, and then you get the one-shots on the special events. And the one-shots are gonna concentrate on that storyline. So letting you guys know, heads up, if you haven't read it, read Executioner's Songs, because I will break it down and we will talk about it. One of my absolute favorite stories of all time. I always recommended it. I gave friends, I bought copies, like a whole set, and given them to friends for they can read it, because I believe it's an important story in X-Men lords and their mythos. And Cable's mythos is part of what he is, part of what happened with Apocalypse. This story is just great, man. The battles alone, holy shit. I mean, X-Men versus X-Men, father versus brother, brother versus son versus father. It's crazy, dude. It's one of the best stories, trust me. So I'm glad you called that out. I fall line. I am going to do that. I'm going to call them one shots, and you're going to get them at the end of the month. And this month, which is August, you will get the Executioner Song breakdown in full depth spoil filled review. There you go. Now, before I bounce out, I got to give another shout out for sure to Parallel Comics, Parallel Universe Comics, and its owner, Brian Gomez. We went out to your sale this Sunday, and it was great. I got so much filler for my collection. Me and my wife had a great time. You guys were outstanding. Your prices were great. I'm glad you're doing this again. And people, when it comes again, I will say live on the show, you'll know what time, what day to be there. I'll be specific with the details. I will post about it. Follow them on IG. Get the details yourself. Do not miss out on this, man. It was great, and I got so much comics from you. So thank you again, Brian Gomez from Parallel Universe Comics. And with that, man, I guess that's it. Almost an hour and a half of your time. I'm glad you guys stuck around. I have some good books to review. Hopefully you guys like them. Hopefully you guys pick them up. And again, I know you couldn't hear my last show, but hopefully you'll hear it this time. Big shout out to my comic book shop, the best shop in town, best shop around, a shop called Quest here in Redlands, California. If you're ever around, go down there. Great selection, man. Tons of trade paperbacks. If you like buying pops, if you like buying them little shits, they got tons of them there. They got action figures, but the comic. This is why you go to your comic book shop. You go to get the comics. They're always on deck. They always have everything you need. If they don't have it there, they got another shop in LA, another shop fucking Montclair, and they'll get the book you need there. So trust me, a shop called Quest here in Redlands, California. Big shout out to my boy Nick and my girl Gloria. You guys run that shit. I love what you guys are doing at the shop. You guys too, like I said, doing my favorite people. When I go down there, I love dealing with you guys. I love how you guys put me up on game when I'm missing out on it. But hey, do your shit, man. All right, everybody, till next week. Ayo out. Serious nerd shit. Hope you loved it. Peace. All of y'all know y'all want it. Turn it up and get blunted. I'm like, fuck the money, fuck the fame. I came here to fuck up the game, gon' get it. I'm feeling myself, fresh to death, bitch. I'm killing myself, I'm gone. We burning it up, step in the building, we turning it up. Talking that shit, but they never admit. When I sit to the mic, I be murdering it, and we living real good. Mainstream, but it's still good. I got raw shit, I got real shit, but right now it's time for that feel good. We call that ballin'. Doing this is my calling. Flow is so appalling. My phone off and she calling. I'm like, yeah, what it do? Penthouse, man, what a view. Fall back cause I'm coming through with my whole team. They coming too. That's falling, falling. I came from nothing to something like it's nothing. Yeah, you know I done it. That is no discussion, bitch. I'm falling, falling. I made a promise to my mama. I'ma turn these zeros into tens of commas. Tens of commas. Bitch, I'm falling. Closing $1 million deals. Catch me swerving, burning $100 bills. How I feel when you falling. Going places they never go. It ain't all about the money, but I stack it cause yeah. You never know. You know that we ballin', we be going all in. Hold on, let me slow it down so y'all get the shit. These haters talk, but I don't give a shit. Got models, bottles, and the piff is lit, but we ballin'. Kinda like sprawling and rollin'. On the road to riches, never stallin'. Got your girl up all on my nuts, but she do it with joy, no almonds. Living life to perfection. VIP, that's the section. Presidential watch, presidential speech. You would think we held an election. Nigga, logic first, and I'm up next. I do not converse, I just cut checks. I do not rehearse, I just drop the verse. I need a cop of hers, cause I'm fresh to death. I bet you never seen so much designer. Never seen a nigga with a bitch that's finer. Boy, I stunt when I ain't even trying to swag, and it's nice, but...